Anybody else been sick and out? Miss Clark? Others been sick? Thank the Lord y'all are back tonight. But here's what I want to do tonight. Let's just have an altar prayer, and then we're going to get right into our study. We're starting the book of Proverbs, so we'll be getting that ready. So if you got something or somebody on your heart you want us to pray about tonight and for, let's everyone that can, we'll come to the altar. Let's have men over here on my left, ladies over here on my right, and let's come and get down here on our knees and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. Go ahead. While you're coming, I did hear from Bo. He said he took his treatment, and they're on their way back to North Carolina right now. They are back. They're back, but we don't know if it's done any good or not. We'll find out. But thank you for praying for them. Keep praying for them. Amen. Y'all girls, young people, cry out to the Lord. Learn how to go to the altar. Learn what it means to go to the altar and bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Learn what it means to get in an altar and cry out to God. Not just a little simple prayer, but just really cry out of your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me with my burden. Help me with my problems at school. Help me with problems at home with my parents or my kids or whatever. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, I'm glad and I'm thankful that we got the privilege of coming to church tonight. We ask you, Lord, this evening that you would forgive us of all of our sins, every word, every thought, everything we've said or done wrong. God, forgive us right now and wash us in the precious blood of the Lamb. God, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that we can come and bring our burdens to the Lord. I'm glad we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. We need help tonight, Lord. I pray for our country, our nation. Lord God, even today we saw things happen that we never thought we would see, Lord. I pray, God, for our country, our leaders. God, that you'd have mercy on us and send us revival. Lord, revival in our churches, in our homes, in our schools. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd bless every family here tonight, everyone that's represented here. God, those that are going through hard times and burdens, I pray that you'd bless them. God, I pray for those that are sick now, not able to come, Lord. God, I pray especially for Bo, and Lord, that you'd continue to touch him and heal him. All the kids that are sick, Carrigan, Lord, I pray for the mamas and daddies that are sick tonight, Kurt's kids, Jason, all of them, Lord. God, whoever's sick tonight, I pray you'd deal with them and bless them in a mighty way. Lord, bless us. We're getting ready for the weekend. Bless the bus routes. Fill our buses full. Keep them running. Fill them full of the power of God. And Lord, send the money in to pay for it. We'll praise you for it. God bless them. The youth rally coming up this spring. God, I pray the Holy Ghost will come and do a work in our church, Lord, like never before. We'll thank you and give you the glory and honor and praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, let's open the Bible to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10 tonight. And everybody here wants to live a good, long, happy life. And I'm going to tell you how to do it this evening. Proverbs chapter number 10. We'll take just a few minutes now. Thank you for being here tonight on these old, cold, terrible weather Wednesdays. God will bless you especially for that tonight, for being here. Now, it's supposed to snow tomorrow. Hallelujah. I hope it does. Amen. Then it'll be melted off good. I doubt seriously if we'll get any here. But if we do, it'll all be gone by Saturday. We'll go visiting Saturday morning at 9:30. And then Sunday morning for Sunday school, be here. Try to do this. Try to bring somebody to church with you Sunday. How long has it been since you brought somebody to church? I used to meet these people once in a while, and they'd say, well, our church ain't growing. And I always say, well, how many you brought lately? Never, never. Anybody who says that never brings nobody to church. And they're just full of the devil and want something to fuss about. And so bring somebody. Figure out somebody that you can bring to church Sunday morning. You might be surprised. They might have told you no 10 times, and this will be the time they'll say yes. All right, Proverbs chapter 10, and look at verse number 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That means, as a general rule, people who fear God live longer, happier lives. And as a general rule, people that live wicked live shorter, more miserable lives. You will have an exception to the rule once in a while. Some old perv like George Burns, who lived to be like 100 and something, wicked as the devil, played God in a movie when he's 90 something. There's an exception once in a while. But as a general rule, people that live wicked live shorter, miserable lives. When you see somebody living a wicked life, like old Hugh Hefner or somebody, he's nearly almost 89 or 88 or something, 5, whatever he is. And you think, my goodness, how come nothing bad ain't never happened to him? And the answer to that is, this is all the heaven he's ever going to get. And it's hell forever, never, 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 never. And a Christian, this is all the hell we're ever going to have, people. No, it's as bad as it's ever going to get. And that's a blessing, isn't it? And it ain't really that bad, but it's as bad as it's ever going to get. This is our hell. Then we get our heaven later. But tonight we're going to talk about that. Everybody wants to live a healthy life, and we're living in a time when there's so much emphasis put on eating well and exercise and all that kind of stuff. People now, they're saying, I'll figure it out. I'm just going to eat organic food. You better have a good job. It's all I can say if you're going to eat organic food. You better make good money, because organic apples like 3 times higher than a regular apple. And I'm not sure it's that much better for you. Probably ain't. I don't know. But anyway, you're going to eat organic and exercise and not breathe dirty air and not drink dirty water and stuff like that. It probably ain't going to help you a whole lot. I was talking to somebody about this. And I want everybody to listen to this. We was talking about your future. And people say, now I need to be secure in my future. I need to have a savings account. I should have some kind of insurance so in case I get sick or something happens. And I need to, this is where I want to be. I've heard people say that. This is where I want to be when I'm 50. This is where I want to be when I'm 60. I've heard people in here say, by the time I'm 65, I want to be able to retire and have money in the bank, and I'll have good insurance in case something was to happen and all that. And I'm gonna retire, and I'm gonna travel, and all that sounds good, and it might work out for you. Then you take somebody like Bo, 36 years old, healthy as a bear, and just starts hurting in his leg one day, and goes to the doctor, and his life's never be the same, and he ain't gonna have no life unless God does a miracle for him. Now you think about that. It can change just like that. You can't plan good enough. You can't plan your life. You can try all you want to. Them people in Hollywood try it. You can't plan your life. You can shoot for a certain goal. You can say, now by the time my kids gets grown, I'd like to be able to live comfortably, and I want to be making this much money, and I want to advance in my company or what. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you something. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. We don't know. As y'all know, I mean, I try to take care of myself. I exercise. I run every day. I fast once a week. I do all this kind of stuff. But then I eat terrible. I run. I bet you I run 3 miles yesterday and then eat a bowl of ice cream that big last night with Pepsi in it. And just wiped out all the good that I'd done. But in my mind, that's the way I justify it. I figure, well, I run this way so I can do this. You know, you'll figure out. And, I don't know. I don't know. Because my daddy died young with a heart attack. And I don't want to go like that, but I might do it. You don't know. Now, he smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day and drunk liquor for 20 years, and that didn't help him none. But still, you don't know. Old Pistol Pete Maravich, he's a basketball player, 44 years old, out on the court playing basketball and dropped dead. He was healthy. You don't know. You really just don't know. But the best we got to go by is the Scripture. All right? I'm going to show you some ways in the Bible that you can live a long, happy life. Let's take our Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. You might want to mark these so you won't die young. Exodus chapter number 20. All you young people, look at this. You may think you're healthy and you're never going to need it, but you're going to need it too. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12. This is a promise. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Isn't that something? There's a promise that if you honor your parents, that it's a good change, you'll have a long life. Think about that. You thought it would say, eat organic oranges and leave off red meat and pork and you'll live. It didn't say that. It said, honor thy father and thy mother. Lord, I know some of them old people. I know Brother Glenn Parker. He's talking about his mom and his grandmother. He said she was 94 years old and still made a garden every year and worked in the garden and sat around and lived off fat back and gravy. I mean, that's what they lived off of. But you say, well, how'd that be? They sweated it out, I reckon. A lot of them's like that. 94, 95, 97. And I tell you what them people done. They honored their parents. They honored their parents. I hear people all the time saying, young people saying, I'm old man, old lady. I wouldn't talk about my parents like that if I was you. You're courting a tombstone, boy. I mean, you better respect your parents. They're not perfect. They'll make their mistakes, but you better honor your father, your mother. You could get killed in a car wreck. You can break your neck. All kind of bad things can happen to you if you don't honor your parents. You say, they don't deserve to be. That ain't what it said. My daddy wasn't saved. Daddy, as I said, he drunk liquor. He cussed. But I still honored him as my daddy. I had to. He'd knock my head off. We ought to honor your parents. That don't mean they're always right. That don't mean they'll make the right decisions. That means you don't disrespect. You don't lie to them. You don't steal from them. I heard about a man. It was a grown man and was selling pickup truck loads of wood. They don't go to our church. And his mom was doing without, about to freeze to death, and he wouldn't take his own mom a load of wood unless she paid him. Now, you know what that boy needed? He needed somebody to smack him upside the head. She took care of him when she was little, gave up stuff for him, and he wouldn't even take his own mom a load of wood without her making mom pay for it. That ain't right. That is not right. All you young people here tonight, honor your father and your mother. Amen. If they're divorced, separate, married to somebody else, you still honor them. Don't you side up with one against the other. You still honor them. I know it hurts. I know it breaks your heart. I know all that. But you still honor your father and your mother. They're still your mother. They're still your father. No matter what they've done, they are still your mother and they are still your father. So you honor them as mother and father. I've heard about people doing all kinds of things. It's one of the signs of the times that people will embarrass their parents in public. Amen. When you're young, you think your daddy's dumb. You think your parents don't know nothing. When you're about 25, you think, well, they was right on that. And they was right on that. By the time you're 35, you think, man, they knew exactly what they was talking about. Here I am doing the same thing that I criticized them for. Have you ever noticed that? You'll do the same thing you criticized your parents for doing when you come to that crossroad and you think, man, I thought that was crazy. And here I am doing the same thing. Some of you girls think, my mama don't let me do nothing. She don't trust me. Well, you grow up and have a teenager. You won't trust them out the door because you know they're just like you. That's right. Lord have mercy. I had people tell me, said, you mean you didn't trust your girls? And I said, no. And they said, did they give you a reason not to? Yeah, they was born. That's the reason. That's the reason I don't trust them. They were born into this world. You say, well, you shouldn't assume the worst. You sure better not assume the best of a sinner. You better not assume the best of your kids. Now, I think you ought to build up their self-esteem and all that kind of stuff, but you better not assume they're always going to do right. Kids, honor your father and your mother. Honor them, that means don't talk back to them, that don't means don't talk disrespectful to them, that means don't lie to them, that means don't smart off to them, that means don't call them names, don't ever say I hate you. I heard about a girl and her mama got in a fight, and the girl said, "I hate you, I wish you was dead," and went to school. Sure enough, mom, something happened, the mama died, and her daughter had to go to the funeral home and see her mama laying there in that casket, and she's bawling her eyes out, "Mama, I'm sorry, Mama, I'm sorry, Mama, I'm sorry, but it's too late." Honor your father and your mother. Second thing, turn to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38. You want to see another way to lengthen your life? Look at Isaiah 38, and we'll show you a fellow here that God added time to him. Now, you want God to add time to you? Amen. Look at it. Verse 1. In those days, this is Isaiah 38, was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, coming to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Death sentence. God said, "You're going to die." Then Hezekiah turned his face unto the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And then look at verse 5. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and said, "Go, say to Hezekiah," verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Isn't that something? That's an amazing story in the Bible. If that wasn't in the Bible, we wouldn't even believe God would do something like that. God said, "You're going to die." Then he turns his face to the wall and said, "Lord, please, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to do right." And the Lord said, "Okay, I'll give you 15 years for that." You see that? Your attitude toward God can lengthen your life. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing story. That's a tremendously amazing. That's an enlightening story, brother. That opens your eyes on a lot of things. That shows how good God is. It shows how powerful prayer is. It shows, see, you say, "Well, God done said I was going to die. There ain't nothing I can do about it." Oh, yeah, they are. They sure are. You pray. In the Bible, every man, he said, "Well, it's too late. He's dead." They prayed for him after he's dead. Jesus did, and he got up. Lazarus. So, if you think you're dying, the best thing to do is humble yourself to God and pray. The last thing you need to do is get mad at God and start saying, "Why'd you do this? And this ain't fair. And I've tried to live for you. Now here I got cancer. I've got diabetes. Or I've got heart trouble. God, why?" That's the last thing you need to be doing. Last thing you need to be doing is bringing accusations toward God and saying, "Why'd you do this to me?" Listen, best thing you can do to God is humble and say, "God, I'm sorry. God, I'll do better. Lord, I won't live right. God, help me. Lord, I will give you some extra time there." I've always been amazed at how people challenge God, man. I'm pretty brave, but I know when I ain't got no match for something. I ain't no match for the Lord. I ain't challenging Him. He can do whatever He wants to. I love Him. If He wants to smite me, that's His business. If He'll have mercy on me, I'll praise Him. You don't get no attitude with God and get anywhere. The best thing you can do with God is humble yourself. I mean, the greatest way to avoid spiritual pride is to keep an eye on your own sinfulness. Keep an eye on your own sinfulness, and you'll get some help from God by humility, by fasting. John the Baptist said, "He must increase, I must decrease." The prodigal son said, "I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." Over and over and over in the Bible, when people humble themselves, God helps them. When you come to this attitude of, "I don't know who you think you are, but I'll do what I want." Oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Anybody got a question or a comment on that right there? Feel free to help me out. Humbling yourself before God. If you want God to give you a long life, keep yourself humble before Him. All right? The next one. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25, back here in the Old Testament. These are hidden back here where a lot of people will never find them. God puts stuff back there like that so that people who dig can get it. And the people who are lazy and don't care won't get it. He don't just hit you in the face with it and drop it down in your bedroom at night. He puts it in a book and you got to seek it out. Deuteronomy 25:15. Deuteronomy 25:15 says this, "But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, what does that mean? That simply means just be honest in your dealings. Be honest in your dealings. Treat people right. Have you ever read them verses in the Bible that says a false balance and a false weight? You ever wondered what them means? You ever, a false weight is an abomination. How many have ever read them verses? Now, what in the world? False. I used to read that, but what they'd do, they'd take like this thing right here, and they'd be selling. Let's just say they'd be selling milk or whatever, and this flour's wasn't in here, and this was. I don't know, let's say like that's 3 gallons or whatever, 2 gallons or half or whatever. Let's just say 3 gallons. And what they'd do, they'd put a bottom in it right here, a bottom right there. And then they'd fill it up with milk and say, here's 3 gallons of milk. Which really, that's a false weight and a false balance and a false bottom. Like the man said one time, when your grandma gets saved, he said, yes, she sure did. And he said, how do you know she got saved? He said, because she went straight home and took the false bottom out of her measuring jar that she sold stuff to people with. And that's what that verse is saying. You don't cheat people. How many of you have ever met somebody and they claim to be a Christian and they cheat people? Mechanics are notorious for this. And plumbers people that work for themselves, a plumber, a carpenter, a mechanic. Lord have mercy. Yeah, all lawyers are. But usually people that have their own business, man, and they got a reputation for cheating people. And they can figure it out. They'll figure out, well, I had to go back and buy this, so you owe me more than you. And they're just burning you a blister, man. That's what you're not supposed to do. You are supposed to treat people right and be honest. Because you will reap what you sow. And if a person treats people wrong, it'll come back on them somehow, some way. It will. If a person cheats people, you watch and see. The Lord will get them. They'll get in trouble. It'll come right back to you. You treat people wrong, you'll get treated wrong. You reap what you sow. Now, that's what a just balance and a just weight. Like telling somebody, oh boy, this car, there ain't nothing wrong with that thing around. I wouldn't care to take off to California in that thing. And you know good and well there's something wrong with it. And then get their money and go on. And it tires up on them a week later. And you say, well, it was fine when I had it. And you knew the whole time that it was like that. Is that what you do to people, Brother Ray? You're over there talking the whole time, aren't you? Huh? You cheat people like that. Oh, okay. Now you done got everybody wondering who it was. I think it was Brother Derek. Wasn't he the one working on your car? You said somebody here. There's a man here. He ain't here no more. He used to come here. Kept borrowing money from me. Well, there's another one now that I think of it. One owes me 160, the other owes me 100, and I just decided to forget about it. I forget about it after a while. What can you do? And about once every 6 months, I said, I ain't got that money I owe you. I said, I ain't neither. Where's that? But you know, they have no intention of paying that back. None whatsoever. They think if you wait long enough, it makes it go away, and it don't. If you owe somebody money, you take care of it, man. Get it right. And go, say, I'll give you $10 a month or something. Adjust. You want to live a long life? Treat people right and be honest. That's why I hate for people in the church to sell each other stuff and have dealings with each other in a way, because I know it's trouble. It always winds up in a mess. Because you think, well, they're a Christian. They should do me a better deal than that. But just because they're a Christian, they can't work on your house for nothing. Or your car. I mean, you know, sometimes we take advantage of people just because, well, they're a Christian, you shouldn't charge me. But I mean, they got groceries to buy and bills to pay too. You can't. But at the same time, you shouldn't burn people because they don't know what they're doing neither. I know a lot of times men are dumb in a lot of things And women are dumb in a lot of things. When these mechanics see a woman pull in a car, I don't know what's wrong with it. It's making a noise. Well, all they see is dollar signs. Dollar signs. It's a proven fact. Sometimes they'll say, you had to have this, you had to have it all, and charge them $300 or $400 and didn't even put nothing on their car. It happens all the time. Anybody ever had that happen to you? I mean, they didn't even do nothing. Put a battery cable on it, and you back tell you they put an alternator on it. You know, charge you $300, labor and parts. And that happens all the time. You know what that is? That's cheating, brother. That's a false ballot and a false weight. Anybody want to say something about that? The old people said you give somebody an honest day's pay for an honest day's work. We shouldn't take advantage of each other just because we go to church together. Just be honest about it. Amen. You can't justify that, and you can't come out like that. A man that cheats somebody, he'll do good for a while, but you can't build a long business like that, cheating people. Because word finally gets around that you're a crook. And then you've ruined your reputation if you cheat people. Anybody else right quick? All right, Proverbs 28. Let's look at another one right quick. We're going to hurry and get a couple more of these, then I'll let you go. Proverbs chapter 28. We're learning how to live a long, happy life tonight. Proverbs 28. And look here what it says. Proverbs 28 and verse 16. Proverbs 28 and verse 16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Now there's another principle. Shall prolong his days. Shall prolong his days. He that hateth covetousness. In other words, a money grabbing, money hogging, all I want is money. I don't care who I have to stomp on, who I have to hurt, who I have to cheat. I want the money I'm making. You know, that's the way rich people get rich. A lot of them. The way rich people get rich is they're cold-hearted, man. Lord have mercy. Have you ever met anybody with money? Not all, that most of them's cold as ice. That's how come they've got money. Because you hear people say, Lord, I couldn't stand it if I knew my family needed money. That's how come they got it. They ain't got no heart. I'm not saying all of them, but most people that got a lot of money, cold heart, that's how they got it. And if you worked hard for it, you earned it, you deserve it. But you should hate covetousness. You should hate covetousness. It's wrong to want to be rich. The Bible said they that will be rich fall into a lot of hurtful and snare and divers lust and all kinds of problems. It creates all kinds of problems. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to have money. It's not. But it's a sin to worship it and want it and build your whole life about money, money, money. That's a sin. Now, if you're doing right and God blesses you with a lot of money, praise God, you deserve it. I never forget Dr. Ruckman. He always says, he said, anything you get honestly and doing the will of God for your life, you're entitled to. You deserve it. If you're working honest and you got a business and God blesses you with $1 million, praise God. Don't feel guilty about it. But if you get it by hook or crook and you stepping on people and hurting people to get it, then you ought to feel guilty because you're a crook. Anybody want to say anything right quick? Hating covetousness. I remember when Brother Derek and y'all got in this big discussion about returning money that you find and stuff like that, and there's all kinds of different ways to look at it and stuff. But the truth is, if I see Brother Ray drop $10 and he's going out the door and I pick it up, I ought to take it back to him and say, here, you dropped it. Because that's what I'd want somebody to do to me. Amen? And we can get into all kinds of hypotheticals if you're walking down the interstate and you find $10, stick it in your pocket and shout. Because there's no way in the world to know where that it blowed out somebody's window or something. But if you know that it ain't yours and you know it belongs to somebody else, then you ought to return it or leave it alone. Or turn it into the store clerk or somebody. But anyway, we ain't going to get into all that again. But you know when you're doing wrong. Especially if you're a Christian, you know when you're doing wrong. Amen? Don't y'all know when you're cheating somebody? You sure do. You sure do. You know. We know when we're a little bit shady dealing with somebody. You know it. You know it. So don't try to justify it and play dumb and I didn't realize and all that kind of junk like that. You sure do. It says hating covetousness. They said the man joined the Air Force. When a man joined the Air Force years ago, he said this, quote, "I will not lie, I will not cheat, I will not steal, or I will not tolerate anybody that does." I thought, Lord, have mercy, that's stronger conviction than Christians have. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. There's a famous saying going around nowadays, and you feed on shirt stuff, "That's my story and I'm sticking to it." You heard that? "That's my story and I'm sticking to it." And what you've done, you've made up some kind of junk. And you say, now every time anybody asks me, that's what I'm going to tell them. But if you just tell the truth, you don't have to think back. Now did I say this? And who did I tell what? And all that. Just tell the truth and you don't have to worry about it. Amen? Amen. Be content with what you have. And don't cheat people. I'm not saying be an idiot. I'm not saying it's godly to be poor. I'm not saying it makes you spiritual if you go around broke all the time. Some of the meanest people in the world is broke. That's amen. You want to be somewhere in between. If you got too much money, it'll take your heart away from God. And if you're real poor, it'll take your heart away from God. You want to be in the middle somewhere. Just middle class. That's your best bet. Anybody want to say something right quick? Amen. What was you doing seeking riches, Brother Ray? What kind of business was you in? Cocaine? I was telling somebody, I've never had a lot of money, but I've never went without. I've never went without. And there's been some times I've been down. There've been some times when I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. But somehow or another, the Lord always, it always come in somehow or another. And if He's taking care of us, that's all we ought to worry about. My goal in life ain't to be rich. Now if He dumps it on you, praise God. Pay your tithes and support missionaries and buy some buses. If God blesses you some money, I'd shout with you. But that shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be to serve Him and do His will. And then whatever He blesses with, shout about it. Anybody? Let's look at one more right quick. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. This one sort of sums up all the others. Deuteronomy chapter number 4 is how to live a long life. And we'll look here at Deuteronomy chapter 4 just a second here. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 40. It's a long chapter. Verse number 40. Let's read it. Deuteronomy 4, 40. "Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee." See, there's even a blessing on your kids. "And that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever." There's another promise. Keep His statutes. Just obey the Bible. Brother Ray, he's talking there. Look how God's blessed him. Kids in church, grandkids in church. You know why? Because of His faithfulness. If he'd have been out there in the janitorial business getting rich, I don't know how you do that, but he wouldn't have had probably his family in church. So we wind up with the real meaning of riches. You know who a rich man is? The rich man is the person who's happy with what he has. You listening? The rich man is the man who's happy with what he's got. You say, "I ain't got much, but I'm happy with it." I'd rather be that than be a millionaire, miserable, wanting this, wanting that, wanting this, wanting that all the time. Just be happy with what you got. Learn how to be happy with the family you've got, with the house you've got, with the car you've got. And if God blesses you with a nicer one, hallelujah. He probably ain't going to bless you with a nicer family. You're stuck with that. But he might bless you with a nicer house and car and no telling what else. The statutes of the Lord, that it may belong with your children and your children's children. What are the statutes of the Lord? Just the commandments, doing right, serving the Lord, living after the flesh, doing wrong. You know, just obeying the Lord. Just obeying the Lord. You obeyed the Lord just for coming to church tonight. You done what the Bible said. The Bible said don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. He said, we're going to church tonight, honey. Get the kids ready. Let's go to church. That's what you do. You just keep obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord. Day after day after day. First thing you know, a month went by. Next thing you know, a year went by. Next thing you know, 10 years gone by. And you're happy and blessed because you've been obeying God. You see people out here and sin all the time? They're always getting in a mess. The trouble, the law's hunting them. Or this happened. Or they had a big fight with their cousin. Or somebody's always wanting to sue them. Or getting in a constant mess all the time. Calling the police. All kind of just junk, 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 junk all the time. You don't want that. That ain't no kind of life to live, folks. Get you a promise of God and live for the Lord. Be happy with what you've got and God will bless you for it. Anybody have a question? Praise the Lord, brother. That's smart. They'll be waiting on you, too. They'll be waiting on you. Isn't that awful? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Who can be the biggest liar? And then they'll praise you for it. They're taught that lying is a good way to get what you want, or a good way to get out of something you don't want to do, that everybody should be a good liar. And of all the things, and I'm sure everybody in here would agree with me, you just about rather somebody just slap you than just lie to you. Just a lie, just a big lie. It hurts. Don't it hurt when you find out somebody that you love has lied to you, one of your kids? It hurts. We've all been through that. We've all been through it. And that's awful. Anybody else, right quick? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. We thank you for the study here in the Word of God, Lord, that teaches us what to do to have a long, happy life. Now, Lord, we don't know.